Hello, my girls. Welcome back to the podcast today. I have my beautiful new friend, Brianna, on. We are going to chat your ear off about what to do if you really feel like you've always had a billion plans for your life or you weren't really sure what your calling is. I know I've talked on this podcast before about kind of finding your soul path, but what happens when you think you have 18 soul paths? So today, Brianna and I are going to let you know our personal experience and how to really find your true calling when you can live in a world of kind of doing anything. So I'll introduce Brianna, let her kind of tell you about herself, and then we'll kind of just dive on in.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
18 soul paths. Man, do I feel that. Thank you for having me on. I'm so excited to meet you finally and to do this with you and chat about this like topic that I feel like so many people can relate to.
I could not agree more. I think like, you know, if you want to share a little bit of your story, Brianna, of like your personal experience, kind of the 18 soul paths, I feel like that's like our brand now. And then I can share mine a little bit and we can go through kind of, yeah, how we found our one true calling. Cause I relate to that so much where I always wanted to do everything and it almost kind of overwhelmed me. And I'm sure that you're kind of the same way.
Yes. So my name is Brianna. I'm 24 years old. I am originally from Massachusetts. That's where I live right now, north of Boston. I went to school at the University of New Hampshire. I graduated in 2018, just like you said you did. I was a hospitality management major. So I did event planning and wedding planning. And so that's what my internships were in. And then I graduated and moved to Martha's Vineyard, an island off southern Massachusetts, and worked at a hotel as an event planner, which was like a dream come true. Super, super exciting. I've been traveling to the Vineyard for one summer my whole life. So to get to live there was super, super cool. And so, you know, I feel like I'm living my dream life, but yet I'm like, I don't know if this is what I want to do. And I feel like that's just becoming more and more common these days. And so, yeah, I moved home in October. I took a seasonal job out of school because I knew that I wanted to move to Europe. So I moved home in October and I was just serving for a while and saving my money. And then in April of 2019, my boyfriend and I moved to Spain. So that was really cool. And we had studied abroad when we were in college as well. So we knew that we wanted to move back. So the first year out of school was just focused on that. How do we make this actually happen? And then I moved back in August, just this time, like probably today of last year, moved home and knew that I didn't want to do wedding planning anymore. Mm-hmm. And so then there's the question, what the hell am I going to do? And I guess I'll just talk a little bit about why I realized that my original path wasn't for me, because I think that's super important. When I was in high school, I was a super busybody. You've talked about it on your podcast too, and I like totally related. I did everything. I was involved in everything, and I just wanted to be part of every single opportunity that there was. And at a super young age, I learned what burnout was in a really aggressive way. And I learned that I just couldn't do everything at once. I was only one person and I needed to figure out what the main focuses were. And that's always been really hard for me. So burnout hit me really hard at a young age. I moved to college and I was like, I'm not doing that again. So I just picked a couple things to do, which was good. So in the event space, I saw all my bosses deal with burnout. I saw them pretty much live in their office, not have any time with their family. Even some of them had like young children and were never around in the summer working on their vacation. And I was like, that was just a red flag. I was like, I don't think that's for me.
I have
The work-life balance, is a huge factor.
That is so, like, I have such a similar experience. I think that's so interesting. I've never thought about experiencing burnout when you were young because I was the same way.
Yeah.
I would go for like 2 months and then I'll never, this is like really weird, but I remember in high school, I was so involved. I was so busy. I played sports. I had jobs. I was getting good grades. Like, and then every like 2 months I would get sick and I'm like putting quotes around that, but I would just be exhausted for like 2 days and I would literally miss school for like 2 days. Like I grew up like very blessed. I was hardly ever sick. Like I never got the flu. I never got like, I've never had strep. Very fun fact about me. I've been tested like 800 times. I've never had it. But I swear that every like 2 months I would just be sick because I was that exhausted, because I was that burnt out, and I would stay home from school for like 2 to 3 days and just sleep. and then just start the whole process over again. But I never changes. I was like,
yeah,
I can keep doing this. I can keep going and like burning the candle down. Like, it's fine, whatever. Have my burnout. And then I would try again. And I would have my next burnout and I would try again.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, mine was more just consistent. Like, I just was tired was my brand. Like, I know how silly that sounds, but like, I would literally be Friday night at a friend's house. We're all watching a movie. Like, in high school, I had a big group of friends, like guys and girls, all friends. And we'd be watching a movie and I'd just be sleeping, like at parties, at hangouts. Like, I would be the girl falling asleep on the couch. Like, at sleepovers, I'd always be sleeping. Like, I was just genuinely so exhausted. Mm-hmm. And like, my diet was so, so, so poor, lacking so many nutrients. Like, my body just hated me. Mm-hmm. And I always wondered, why do I always have a headache? Why does my stomach always hurt? Why am I always so exhausted? Hello, because you're what, 16 years old and you're trying to do 10 million different things. I mean, it's just not a good way to live. And like, my parents always would be like, you need to pick a couple things. You have to pick a few things, right? And I just never listened to them. I'm like, I can do all of it. I have my planner right here. I go to half of this student council meeting, half of my rehearsal, and then I go to practice, and then I go to work, and then I do my homework. Like, it's insane. Not to mention how early you have to wake up in high school. It's like, how on earth are we putting such young people through this? That's a whole thing. I could do a whole other episode on that. Like, nobody's looking out for these high achievers. Like, and I know that sounds sort of pretentious or sounds very like privileged, but it's just like, no teachers are like, hey, how, and maybe it's different now. It's been very different in the past, like 5 to 10 years, like the talk of mental health in schools. I actually went back to my school last year, my high school, and my class had never made a class gift. So we donated to the new like mental health counselor center at my high school, which we did not have when I was there. And so teachers can like refer students to there's therapists in the school, and we did not have that when I was a kid. So I just think that that's super important. But I learned it really early. You can't do everything. And it was really hard. Like, I felt like I was working so hard and nobody appreciated all the work I was putting in. And that hit me really hard too. And that led into like the first time I ever felt depression. And I just was like, yeah, it's just the definition of burnout. And I was like, I never want to feel that way again. Mm-hmm. And so to watch people ahead of me in my career deal with that and normalize that, I think that's another really important point. Like, normalize the hell out of living at work, working a 75-hour week. Like, I'm all set with that. I'm a hard worker, don't get me wrong. But like, I realized how much I care about travel, studying abroad, living abroad. Like, I want to have 2 weeks off to go travel Europe every year. Like, I want to be able to live my life and spend time with friends and family. Like, so the work-life balance was a huge, huge, huge part of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love, you shared so many good things. Like, I think there's so much to talk about where it's why we idolize certain extremes and not
others.
Oh
my goodness. Yeah.
I talk about extremism all the time because that was me. I just could not calm down. And yet I was like glorified, right? Like, I was the top of my class. Everyone thought that I was like so incredible. I had it all together. I'm not trying to like boast myself. It was like,
no, I get what you mean.
Like, I've even had conversations with my teachers now because high school and college was when I struggled with my eating disorder the most. And right. I had conversations with my teachers or my friends and they were like, we thought you were great. Like, mm-hmm. We thought you were just like killing it. You always got A's. You always were the president of whatever. And like, I've never been more sad than during those years.
Oh, girl.
It was like, I couldn't calm down. And I really want to talk about, I think first why that is, like why you and I believe that it happens, because I believe it happens when you have an identity crisis and you get the praise for achieving and you're like, wait a minute. Okay, so like achieving is good. Okay, well then I can achieve a lot. And like, while it is a very good kind of personality trait to have, like being goal-oriented, being super motivated and like everything, it's just like everything else that it can get really out of hand. And you need sit down and be like, why am I doing this? Because there were so many things that I did in high school and college that I had absolutely no interest in. I didn't give it any of my time of day, which is really sad. Like you were saying, like I would go to like a fourth of a meeting just to say that I was a part of that club. Like say that like, oh, I'm in 18 clubs, but I only care or give my time to two. Yeah. It's that competition of just like, quantity over quality, quantity over quality. And we need to reverse that and kind of be like quality over quantity. There is such a pressure to like high school and college kids that like be involved in absolutely everything. But at the end of the day, what can you actually talk about? Like there were so many clubs I did that I don't know what they were about. I don't even know what, I didn't serve any purpose to them. Like,
oh,
I would
goodness.
Just go. And it's such a shame because it does. It fills up your calendar. It takes your energy and, you know, vibe from everything else that you really do care about. And then you end up, I think what you were saying, where you kind of hit that depression of like, nothing I'm doing is actually mattering because I'm trying to do everything and you can't.
Yeah, I think that what you're saying is so true about like, I want to show up to this meeting so I can say that I'm a part of this group. And I think that that's like, we talk so much about societal pressure, like this, just this pressure to be so resume oriented. And like on one of your last episodes, you talked about being a walking resume. And it's like, hi, I'm Brianna. I'm president of this and secretary of this and this and this and this and this and this. And in high school, that's where I found my worth. And that's how I felt like I was like getting love from other people, was by the praise of accomplishments and my family showing up for this induction and this ceremony and this sporting event and this concert. Like I really, 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 really push the envelope for like how much can one individual possibly handle. And so even when my parents were telling me like, hey, maybe don't sign up for this new thing now that you're in a new year and they're allowing it, like maybe don't do that. And so I didn't listen and I had to learn it for myself. And unfortunately that was depression. And unfortunately that was like complete burnout and exhaustion and actual sickness as well. And like, I'm just grateful looking back. I'm grateful that I learned it at 18, 17, because some people learn it at 25, some people learn it at 30, and there's so much more on the line. Like, yes, that was a pretty dark time for me, but like the things that I've been able to take away from that, I wouldn't change it. Like even going into college, I'm really actually proud of myself looking back that I was able to make those changes and go into college with a different attitude. Like it was just so bad that I was like, there's no way I can do this again. And I think I learned at that time that there wasn't a huge reward for spreading yourself that thin. There wasn't a huge benefit. Like, congratulations, you did everything. Like, keep, there was no positive reinforcement of like, yeah, that is how I should live my life. It was all negative. And so I got to college and I was like, I'm going to join one thing that really matters. So I joined an acapella group and decided not to do sports because I used to do both in high school. I sang, I did sports, I did all these clubs. Like, and I just knew I didn't have the time. If I was going to try to like get a degree and like do school in a more serious way, I just didn't have the time. Not to mention everything's next level. Like if you play even a club sport, you're traveling all the time. You have practice every single day. Like you just can't, college isn't built to allow you to do so many different things in that way. So I just couldn't. I was like, I'm just not going to do it. And then graduating, I was like, there's no way I'm going to allow this in my job. I'm just not going to do it.
No, I love, you have to take a mental, or you have to take an, not spiritual, an individual inventory, I guess. Like you have
Absolutely.
To take an inventory of like, where's my energy going to? Why? And I love that you said too, it's like burnout can happen when you're 50. God forbid
Oh, yeah.
It does. Like burnout can happen like in the workplace, especially when you're a young adult and you're supposed to like grind and everyone starts at the bottom and you grind your way up. And I have I guess this is like a small tip of mine, because I actually recently had a conversation with my brother literally about this topic. So my brother's younger than I am. He's now a sophomore in college, but his second semester freshman year, he was like in all these sports, he's studying physical therapy, he had a job, he's super into weightlifting, like he was doing all of these things. And he asked me at one point, he was like, "Em, like, I really don't want to go to this meeting. Like, I don't know if this club is going to help me, blah, blah." I was like, why in the world are you going to the meeting? If you have no interest in it, you don't think it'll help you anything. It's like me yelling at myself. Like, I was like, why would you do that, Bri? Like, you do not need to do that. And he's like, I don't know. Like, I'm just nervous that I'll miss out on something. And this is like what I really want to talk about, because I think people that are perfectionistic and type A and just like super like, just you're high achieving, like you are a very motivated and determined individual. So it's not bad, but anything that's good can also be used for bad. And so I want to like really share kind of how to differentiate between, are you doing it for someone else or are you doing it for yourself? Because when I asked Brian, like, well, why do you feel like you need to go to this? He's like, well, it might look good to other people that like I did it. And I was like, yeah, but like, what can you say about it? And like, what are you gonna, like, are you gonna be involved in it? Like, are you gonna, like, what is the point of it? And from my experience, like even now being a young adult, like we both are getting jobs, when they ask for like experiences or like, you know, your resume even or whatever, they want you to talk about what you love. Like, I can't talk about these clubs that I went to like four times and was like, yeah, it was like fine, I guess. You know, like I talked about the same three things or whatever every single time because it truly did mean something to me and I gave it my energy as well, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And so if you're doing it for other people, it really won't benefit you. The only thing you can do is better yourself and benefit yourself when it's like filling up your calendar or having hobbies or having jobs. Like you don't have to just run yourself ragged for everyone else. I think that was kind of my point of it. Cause I remember him saying that and opportunities will come. That's the thing is like, we live in a world where there are millions and millions of opportunities all the time. And if you're a perfectionist and an overachiever, it's almost like it's overwhelming. You can literally do anything and be a part of anything and you can try to do it all. And like, yeah, I think that overwhelm can hit really hard if you have that type A personality.
Absolutely. And I think that the opportunities thing is a blessing and a curse. Like I just, as you were talking, I just kept thinking about like how different things are than again, even 5-10 years ago in how we talk about our time and our efforts and our energy, where I don't feel like people were really talking about that back then. Like when you were talking about having that conversation with your brother, it's like, well, what lights you up? And it's like, what makes you feel good to go to? And I just don't feel like anyone was posing that question to me. Nobody was like, well, are you doing this because you're passionate about it? Are you doing this because you think it'll be good for someone else? Like, what is the real drive for you going to these things? And it's so important. And I'm so glad that there's that shift. But on the other hand, the opportunities are becoming like literally endless, which is a beautiful thing. And you can create literally whatever your heart desires. But bringing it back to like the topic that we planned on talking about today, it's like, what am I going to do? Like we have technology. You can start a business in 2 seconds via Instagram. You can start a podcast for free. You can do literally anything. You can have an Etsy shop if you are a crafty person and you make a product. Like there is an avenue to just for free most of the time accomplish whatever goal you set out for. And that's awesome. But if you do have that personality type, it's very overwhelming because it's like, well, I could be this and I could be this and I could be this or I could be that. And it's like, it's not possible. So full circle. It's not possible to wear all those hats. It's just not. And so, you know, that's what I wanted to talk about today is that like, I'm very grateful that instead of sitting down and being like, I'm not passionate about anything. How am I supposed to pick a job? I'm like, I'm passionate about these 7 things and I obviously can't have 7 different jobs. So what do I do?
Yeah.
And so over the past year now, it's so crazy that I've been home for a year. I'm very like time and place oriented. And so now that it's coming up on like the official year of being back from Spain, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like how has a year even gone by? And obviously quarantine sucked up so many of our months, but so crazy. But yeah, it's just like, okay, well, I could be an event planner. I could be an interior designer. I could be a fitness instructor. Maybe I want to pursue a singing dream. I could be a therapist, but I didn't go to school for that. Maybe I should do marketing or social media management. Like those are just a small, maybe I'll own a boutique. These are all these like little things that I'd be happy to do. And it's like, it's great that I have so many interests and so many passions and can see myself in so many different roles. However, I definitely cannot do all 7 of those things I just listed as one human being. I just can't.
Yeah, I know. It's like the list. I'm like shaking my head the whole time. Cause I'm like, oh my God. At one point I wanted to like be a baker, a geneticist, a therapist. I hate science. I don't know where, like I had like all these things. I was like, why not? And like,
yeah,
that feeling. Yeah, it is. It's a superpower and it's a curse as well. And I love that we're talking about this because even if you're not necessarily like totally type A and everything, you really can do everything. There's just so much out there to be able to do. And from my experience, I think the biggest thing that helped me kind of find my passion, like my passion is my business. I work a regular 9-to-5. I'm like slowly gonna start to hopefully take over my business full time over the next year. But that's awesome. Finding my passion was just doing something that I would do for free first. Like I wrote on my blog for like 6 months before I made a single dime. Even now, I think I make like $2 a month or whatever on my blog. Like I just loved doing it. So I think finding what lights you up for free is one of the ways that you can really help kind of narrow that list down. Cause a lot of the times I would catch myself being like, oh, I want to do this because they have a good salary or they have a good job. you know, projection. And while all of that is like good and smart to look at the end of the day, when I looked at kind of my list and I was like, what would I do for free? That helped me a lot narrow it down. And then as well, it's just taking action. I think type A's, we get paralyzed because we can do everything, that then we kind of, at least from my experience, I just like shut down. I get very paralyzed and I'm like, okay, I literally can't think about anything or do anything or like write anything for like a week. Like it would happen to me so often. I just had to shut everything down. And so I think that that helps as well to kind of just take a small action. And especially with now so many things you can do even online, your Etsy shop, that's like a great example. You can start an Etsy shop and do it for 3 months and then decide that you don't like it. Like there's so many things that we can do for like quote unquote no harm. And instead of going, I have to pick one and I have to do it for forever and it has to be perfect. Like sometimes it's just pick something, try it out. Like I'll, even my blog, for example, I've revamped my blog 4 times in a year. Like,
oh my goodness.
Probably do it more and more. And like, if I had never started though, because I was like, I don't know, it's not going to be like perfect. Like you just have to take actions forward.
I think that's huge. And like, it's so crazy because I didn't share my notes with you, but you're like literally listing some of the tips that I had written down. So that's crazy. but yeah, I think that for me, it's like, I'm a huge like proponent of writing things down. I mean, I was a planner by trade. Like I just need everything on paper. And so one of my tips is like, you have this, all these things floating around of like things you could see yourself doing. It's like, write those down and then pick one, literally just pick one. And like you said, like most of the time you can backtrack, especially with all these, like, I don't know, more modern careers, as opposed to like getting this 9 to 5, like you can backtrack. If you open your Etsy shop and don't love it, like you can backtrack and you can try something else. And so I just think that writing that list down, really looking at like, okay, what are my feasible options? And the thing that if you say, I have to start something this week, I'm just going to start, whatever comes to mind first out of that list is going to tell you a lot. Like your brain will lean towards one of those things. Like, well, I can't just buy a business right now, so I don't think a boutique is going to work. Do I want to sell stuff online, or do I want to try interior design? What do I want to do? Do I want to start a fitness instructor license? Like, what am I doing? And what comes out to you as the right answer is just the right answer for that moment. And like you talking about shutting down because things are too overwhelming, I just think that that is something so many people can relate to. And one of my biggest tips is like, if you just take any step in any direction, you are closer to your goal than you were without taking that step. And really internalizing that and understanding that has helped me so much that like, even if it ends up being a quote unquote failure, you learned that that you can check one more thing off the list. Yeah. And that is a huge accomplishment in and of itself, right? Like, you open that Etsy shop and like you get a lot of customers, or you don't, or you just don't enjoy making the jewelry as much as you thought you did, whatever it is, like you can now cross that off your list and now you have 6 options instead of 7. And that's an accomplishment. That's something to be happy about. And then you pick a new one and you just start. And so I just, it's not a straight line. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like to get to this dream life where you love your job and you have this work-life balance and you feel so fulfilled, it's not a straight line in the way that careers used to be for our parents and grandparents' generation. Like you graduate high school or college and then you pick a job and then you do it for 50 years and then you retire. It was a straight line. Climbing the ladder was a straight line. And it's just so zigzaggy now for a lot of people in the entrepreneurship space, in the startup space. Like, it's not a straight line. I'm going to try this and it didn't work. I'm going to revamp my website 100 times because I want to figure out what works. I'm going to start a podcast, but it didn't work. Like, you just have to keep taking steps in the direction that feels right at that time. I can't stress that enough. Like, you just have to take one little step in the direction that looks good at that particular current moment and then see where it takes you. And you'll get there eventually. It might take longer than if you went the straight line route, but ideally you're happier on the other side. And that's what pushes me to keep doing a million things, like in the trial period, to see what sticks.
Yeah, I love that. Well, because yeah, your trial period is how you become the person you need to be to do what you're actually meant to do. Like, there's a
Absolutely.
quote that's like, growth happens through action, whether the outcome is what you wanted or not. And that one always
Oh,
hits me hard because I'm
I
like,
love
this has to be
that.
it. This is gonna work. This is whatever, blah, blah, blah. So that I kind of do it. And if it doesn't turn out the way I thought that it was supposed to, I still got the result that I needed. And you have to
Right.
believe that. And I think I also want to talk about on the flip side, and I would love to hear your opinion on this, because I also think that type A's, we can also tend to shut down when things even get slightly hard. Like, I'm speaking from my own experience because I'm so used to just doing everything and it being somewhat easy. So, like, and I'll give the example again of like my blog. When I started my blog, it took a little bit of time, right, to like get traction, but I was still loving it. But in the beginning of it, I had so many moments where I was like, I'm gonna quit. I'm gonna quit. Like, this is almost embarrassing. It's almost that feeling of like, if I'm not perfect and I'm not going to just like all of a sudden take off, then I can't be seen as like trying. I think that can be really hard for perfectionists because I would go through phases where like it wasn't growing as quickly as I wanted, or it wasn't looking the way that I wanted, or and I would always have this moment where I was like, I'm just gonna quit, because we're really, really hard on ourselves, and that extremism can really come in where it's like, if it's not going absolutely to plan, then it's almost like not meant to be, and I can't like keep trying because everything is supposed to be easy to me. I don't know. I've experienced that with myself. Like, sometimes if things are hard, I don't even really mean to. I think it's a subconscious thing where I'm so scared to be seen as vulnerable and to be seen as anything but perfect, that if something is hard to me, I can easily just leave. And I can easily just be like, nope, that's nope, done, like delete whatever, because I'm
I'm not good at
so,
this. I have to go.
yeah. I'm very, very
Yeah.
scared of like judgments of people, and I've always been that way.
I think that letting go of perfectionism is just such a journey in and of itself. And like, it's so tied in with what other people think of you. It's so tied in with wanting the praise for doing it right away. And you just like, I've really found that to be a natural growth point as I try to grow in other areas, like as I've learned to be more independent, and as I've learned this, that, and the other, that the perfectionism has slowly started to fade away, and the I need to be perfect the first time starts to fade away, and that type of thing. And working on not caring as much what people think about X, Y, and Z is hard, but it has to be on your mind. It has to be a thing that you consciously tell yourself, like, it doesn't matter if people think this is cool or not, like, I'm doing this for me. And it goes back to the like, well, does it light you up? Then like, that's for you and that's fine. And you don't have to share it with other people, or you can, and they don't have to love it. Like, it's for you. And I just think that that's super important, is trying to let go of that, because you're not doing it for other people, you're doing it for yourself. And like, if you are passionate enough about something to feel that way, then like, there's a much better chance that you're going to be successful, because you're doing it from a really authentic place and you're doing it because you want to. And
Yeah, we
then
just took that
you'll
like
care
full
less.
circle. Yeah, it's like
Yeah,
do
you'll
what you
care
like, but
less.
it doesn't really matter. And yeah,
Yeah.
I think that would actually be kind of like my final, I think I have like two final tips to people who like, yeah, I've been in that cycle of like I could literally do everything. What is going on? My first one is that like nothing will ever please your perfection. We always say like I'm this, then I'll feel perfect. This will be perfect. That will be perfect. It won't. It'll keep moving the goal line. Like if you, I don't know. I always talk about like body weight, right? Like if you lose 5 pounds, it's never good enough. It's like I need to lose 10 pounds now. Now I need to lose 15 pounds. Da da da. Like your perfection will never be pleased. So just remember that. And then I think the other one I would say is the only people that will ever judge you are the ones outside of the ring. I've always heard that from like big kind of like CEOs or entrepreneurs. They talk about like the only person that will ever judge you is someone who's never chased their own dream, or someone who's never started their own business, or someone who's never like, yeah, gone and like lived in Spain, right? Like the only people that will judge you are the ones who never took the risks of life and like tried different things and failed companies or whatever it is. So like make sure you're aware of who you're listening to, and make sure that they're people who at some point were in the ring as well and can give you actual, I don't know, feedback, instead of being scared of just what everyone will think. Like not everyone is going to love what you're doing. So just like be aware of who you're listening to, I would say. But if you had like one final tip, Brianna, like what would it be? Or a couple tips for like someone who just, yeah, is that type A and is like, what am I supposed to do with life?
Yeah. Well, quickly, I guess I should probably say what it is that I'm doing. We talked about this so much. So I just started another serving job to make some money while I figured it out. And then this is also a tip. Like I just picked interior design. I just picked it. I was like, this is what we're going to try. We're going to see where it goes. It felt sort of parallel to the wedding planning thing. And like, I loved anytime anyone validated that for me and they were like, oh, there's a lot of transferable skills. Like that makes sense. I'm like, oh, thank you. So that always felt good. But what I did, and this is the tip, is start networking. Just reach out to people in the field that you are interested in and just let them know, hi, I'm Brianna. I'm a recent graduate, blah, blah, blah. I think I want to switch career paths. I'm super interested in interior design. I would love to have a conversation with you. And like, for me, I got coffee with three different people, but like, you can just Zoom them now. You can just have a phone call and take 20 minutes of their time and see what comes of it. And so I was very lucky. Like, I feel pretty comfortable doing that. I'm very outgoing and like I have a business school background. So I learned like how to network, but it doesn't have to be super formal, right? You just send that email. I just found your Instagram or I just found your website. I'm local. I would love to hear about your experience in this industry because I'm thinking of switching over. People love that. People love to talk about themselves. That's something people always said in business school. People love to talk about themselves. People love to share their experience. And most people love to help people that are in a stage that they were once at themselves. And so that's one of my main tips is just network with people in the different categories. If you have three top industries that you think you might want to switch gears into, meet with three different people. What is this job like? What do you like about it? What do you not like about it? And so I did that with interior designers. The first one made me realize that I need to talk to stagers instead because I don't want the like architecture part. I'm more of like an interior decorator. So I talked to two more of them. And it was so helpful. And now I have those people in my toolbox, right? My networking toolbox that I can reach out to. Hey, could you look this over for me? I actually decided to just start a business on my own. And like, I'm making my website. Could you give this a peek? And everybody's going to want to help you. Like, there's going to be somebody who's going to want to help you. So I started an interior design Instagram in like January, but like, it was very much on the back burner. Because I just had like a lot going on personally at that time, but then coronavirus came and we were stuck at home and I was like, hey, maybe I should lean into this a little bit. I also happened to have moved into a new apartment at that time. So I had like more content that I could share. And I just started focusing on that and building that. And then I got a client literally out of nowhere. This girl from Iowa messaged me before I was ready for a client and was like, hey, I love your page. I know. I love your style. Like, would you be able to help me? I just moved into a new apartment. I made her two mood boards. It was such a great experience. I got paid for it. I'm like, so am I a professional interior designer? Like, yeah. I mean it when I say this came out of nowhere. All I did was put myself out there, post some pictures, and this girl reached out to me. And so it's like, you never know what that one step is going to do for you. And so that's the one tip is just take that step and network. And then the other thing I want to say is to be in the right spaces. And I mean that in a couple of different ways, like physically, like going to, not now, but before and after, going to events that align with what your future goals are, meeting those types of people by accident, but just by being in that physical space, being in the right spaces socially and on the internet, like starting a wellness Instagram or a design Instagram or whatever that might be, and just connecting with other people takes you so much farther than I even expected. Like, we met through Instagram completely randomly. We're local to each other. We can be in real life friends after this, like just by chance. And it's like, now we have this awesome connection and another resource for, hey, I know that we really are the same in this. Like, what do you think about this next step or whatever? And it's like just building up that toolbox of these people who are willing to help you and can relate to you in different ways. Like, you just need to put yourself out there. And that can be harder for some people than others. But I promise you that the reward is worth it. Like, and I feel so, not to get too like hippy dippy, but I know that you're like,
no, bring it on. I say it all.
I just feel so validated by the universe. Every time I've taken one of these steps, I've gotten something out of it. And like, I can't stress how powerful I feel like that is. Like, the design Instagram, I've met so many people. I've met you. I went to this event back in the fall It was like a women's conference, and the keynote speaker was somebody, like a female entrepreneur that I really admire. And I was like, I asked all my friends if they could go. No one was available. And I was like, I'm just going to go by myself, which was kind of weird for me. I'm like, I'm just going to go into Boston by myself. So I went in and I went to this event, and all of a sudden this girl walks up to me. This felt fake, honestly. This girl walked up to me and she was like, hey, like, are you here with anyone? I was like, no, like, I just came by myself. And she's like, oh, hi, I'm Paige, this, that, and the other thing. She was local. She lived in the North Shore. We're the exact same age. She had also lived in Barcelona. Like, I can't make this stuff up. She also was a singer, and she went there by herself. And now we're Instagram friends. We keep meeting to grab coffee. Like, and it was just a connection. And I was like, I could not have had a more clear example of the universe being like, coming here by yourself was the right move. Here's a cool friend for you. Like, amazing. You can't make this stuff up, right?
It's because wishing is one thing, but then moving is another. Taking the action is another. Yeah.
And I just looking back and thinking of all these examples in the past year of doing something uncomfortable or taking a step, mm-hmm. even if you aren't exactly sure where it'll lead, and having an end result, it's just huge. And so the last thing I'll leave with is, like, the other thing I'm doing right now is I'm working for a fitness brand. So I love this female entrepreneur, and I love going to her workout events. So I went to one in January, and I had this idea. So I went up to her after, everyone like wants pictures with her, whatever. I was like, hey, I just want to run this idea by you really quick. And she was like, oh my God, tell me about it. And it was just like a way for her community to connect a little bit more, because there's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of girls on the East Coast and like in Massachusetts that are obsessed with her, and we all have really good vibes. And so I was like, here's a way for us to connect. She's like, I love that. Go talk to my girl over there. She'll get your info. So I go over there, and next thing you know, she's like, I recognize you from the store. I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, here's my Instagram. And she goes, we're hiring if that would interest you.
Always. I was like, take them action.
Are you kidding me? And now I work there. It was supposed to happen way earlier, but coronavirus, I just started. And like, I'm just working as an associate at like their retail store right now. Mm-hmm. But like, there's so much room for growth. The girl I was just talking about started 2 years ago as an associate, literally because of the same thing. She worked a 9-to-5, hated it, wanted to do something else, worked at this store in the meantime. And now she's the marketing director and she's the manager of all the stores. It's like, these things are real. These things happen. You just have to take a step in that direction, mm-hmm. and be in the right spaces and connect with people, and you'll get there. And so right now I'm a little overwhelmed. Speaking of that overwhelm word, I have this design business sort of. I'm working as a server to keep making the money. I started this retail job for now, and I have a podcast, and I'm doing a million things. But like, I just know that I'm not trying to do a million things for the long term. I'm doing a million things right now and next year so that one thing can blow up and be the thing that I do. The design business takes off, our podcast might take off, my fitness job might take off, like something is going to stick, and that's going to be why it's worth it to feel overwhelmed right now, why it's worth it to have sort of a stressful schedule, because I just believe in myself enough to know that one of these things is going to end up being my career. And I'm going to love it. And I'm going to be so grateful looking back on this version of myself who prioritized putting my eggs in different baskets and prioritized, I want to be really happy with my job. Mm-hmm. And well, those are my tips. Yeah.
Well, even you talking about them, they all light you up. You can defend each one. That's what I say. Mm-hmm. You can defend what you're doing. There were so many things that I've done in my life where I was like, I don't really know. But yeah. Like they were like, why do you do it? I'm like, I don't. And if you don't know, if you don't know, you shouldn't be doing it. So Brianna, thank you so much. Like, please plug your Instagram, like plug your podcast. I'll link everything from Brianna down below as well. And then I'll share it on my Instagram too. So you'll find us for sure. But yeah, tell us where to find you and like, what's going on with that?
So my design Instagram is at designwith.brie, B-R-I. And so I do mood boards over there, design inspo, and I like am taking clients for virtual design right now and mood boards and stuff like that. You can find my podcast with my best friend from college. It's a lifestyle podcast. We're all about empowering women, talking about real stuff, having fun. And that's at Girls with the Fruit Tats. We have matching pineapple tattoos. So that's what our podcast is called. So we have new episodes every Wednesday on there. And then my personal Instagram is just Brianna with two A's, loves with two S's, and that's like from middle school. But that's where you can find me. But I really urge anyone who wants to talk about anything that we covered today, or literally anything at all, to just reach out to me on any of those Instagram accounts, because I'm just really in a chapter right now where I want to connect with everyone. Like, I want to hear your story. I want to talk about it. I want to help each other out. So please, 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 I urge every girl listening to reach out and just say hey and share your experience with me. I would love that.
You're so wonderful. Yeah, definitely. Like, reach out to Brianna, let her know like how this helped. And yeah, to the girl listening, like, just take action. That's all you can do. The worst thing, the only way you can fail is by never trying. That's literally it. So we love you so much, and we'll listen to you guys, or speak to you guys, real soon. Again, I hope you guys have a great day.